We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It has been a crazy busy day in the sports world. Nick Saban retires. Pete Carroll retires from coaching, maybe, like he's moving on to the front office, but all quiet here in Metairie at the Saints facility for now. They have the week off, the coaching staff, that is, this week. But next week, they'll be back, and we do expect to hear some changes. We're going to get into all of that and so much more in today's show.
Yeah, a lot to cover today. Peaches is our sponsor for now and forever because they are the best coffee in the city. And if you need a new car, check out my guy, Matt Bowers. He'll get you right. He's got the best prices, best car dealer in the whole entire galaxy. They got the new Ford dealership opening up on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. When that opens up, make sure you go check it out. Buy a car. They'll get you the best price, get you in and out. All right, let's hit these ads. The New Orleans Dot Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show.
Let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is home to a new engagement salon. Be sure to go check out their beautiful selection of engagement rings. And while you're there, ask them about their fleur-de-lis collection of earrings and necklace that I have on now. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right, let's get into the lead topic. The 2023 season is officially over. So is it time to move on from offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael and go elsewhere?
I mean, look, I think they got to look at everything they're doing. And I wasn't ready for it to be that direct.
I know. It's crazy that your answer... It's crazy that the answer isn't an immediate yes, though.
I know. Think
that because he finished the season so strong. I know.
Like, that changed it.
Man, that must be what it feels like when Ed Daniels asks a question. You're like, whoa!
Ed Daniels is under fire right now.
How do you feel about it?
We can get into it. No, but look, it is the hot topic. It's the reason why it's our lead topic. It has to be talked about. Yes, did they ascend at the end of the season? Absolutely. But because Dennis Allen is going nowhere, meaning the defensive coaching staff is going nowhere because he is the defensive coordinator, it leads you to an area, okay, look, there's a lot of things the offense did wrong. The offensive line at the beginning of the year, how long it took for them to figure out using motion, figuring out Derek Carr. Did they figure it out maybe toward the end, but was it good enough? And I think that's the gray area we're in right now. It's either yes, no, or maybe. Look, is it good enough right now?
Nick's reaction was an honest one, though. Mm-hmm. Me and Kevin just talked about this on the podcast yesterday. Like, up until about 5 weeks ago, that was the easiest yes in the world. Yeah. Like, I mean, Pete Carmichael's deserves a ton of respect, but it felt just inevitable. Like, it wasn't even going to be a discussion. And the offense got so good, and Derek Carr was playing so well by the end of the year, and they did improve in just about, like, red zone had to improve. Mm-hmm. Drastic improvement. Use of motion, use of play action. The run game never got better. But that it actually makes it pause. Now, that's impossible to sell. If you care about making the fans happy and promising that, you know, the definition of insanity is just doing the same thing, they recognize they can't do that. They have to change something. And it just sounds exactly like last year, where we were like, well, maybe they could keep mm-hmm. Pete and bring someone in, like what they did with Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger at LSU. Those conversations are back on the table. I think what they will do is definitely explore all their other options, though, for sure. But I still think the odds are against him because it's 3 years in a row of this.
Yeah. Well, let me ask it a little differently then. When do they need to make a decision about their future at OC?
I mean, I think they got to make a decision like Monday. They let these guys go on vacation for a week, which is, look, that's kind of brutal. Like, they're all just sitting around
Belichick's
waiting.
Belichick's doing the same
thing
in New
England.
Well,
so much is happening around the NFL, too. I mean, we see it within the hour, just the different changes that are going on.
Yeah, these guys are sitting around right now. Like, do I have a job or do I not? Yeah. Like, I heard from one yesterday, and it's like, man, I just wish I knew. Like, it's just so they would know what was actually kind of going on right now and whether they're going to be back or not. But look, I mean, they want to go through their thing and make sure they're making their decisions. So, like, whatever, you're going to get to it when you get to it. Like, it just kind of is what it is. Nobody's going to feel bad for people that are paid a lot of money. You know, it's the business. It's kind of what you go through. You know, to answer the question, though, like, if I was running the team, I would make a change. Like, I just would. I think you have to. I think, yeah, they got to a point, but, like, should you have to be selling the use of play action in 2023? And should it take until week 11, week 12 to get it? Like, oh, you finally started doing these things you should have been doing all along. Hurrah, you're saved. Like, no, I think it's time to do something different. And, you know, whether Pete stays in the building or not is immaterial to me. Like, I think someone else needs to be primarily designing the offense and calling the plays. If he wants to go back to being kind of like a researcher, someone that kind of finds wrinkles and all this other stuff, cool. Like, I thought he was really good at that for a long time. Like, he was instrumental to their success for a while in his role. So, like, if you can get him back in his role, like, sure, that's great. But I also don't think that you should be bringing in an OC where he has to keep this gentleman around either. Like, if you're bringing someone in, let him run it. Don't make it. I think they're in this situation due to a lot of half measures, to the, like, okay, we're going to hold on to this for dear life and let it go, let it go. Like, if it's Gruden and he has that relationship with Pete and it's comfortable and it doesn't feel a certain way, great. But if you go get, like, I don't know, a college OC or, you know, the Houston quarterback coach, don't make him work with these people if he doesn't want to. Let him get the people that he's going to work best with and run his system and do things his way, because it's time to move on from Sean Payton. It's time to move on from Sean Payton. He coaches in Denver. We're in New Orleans. There's a lot of geographical difference there. There's a lot of time now between the two things. Let it go and do something different.
Well, I have a couple thoughts real quick. The timing, the obvious answer is you do it as soon as possible because there's going to be so many other NFL teams hiring offensive coordinators who've already fired their offensive coordinators and new head coaches building their staffs. But I have a feeling if it's like it was the last couple of years, Dennis Allen is going to look into two or three options that he likes better than Pete Carmichael. And he's probably already exploring those options, already had those conversations, already made those calls. And Pete might be the backup, the fallback plan. It might not be a Pete gets fired no matter what, but maybe it's a Pete gets fired if we can't find one of these three or four people we like better. That is a possibility too. But there's no way they haven't made any inquiries yet. They're not gonna be like, oh shoot, we were supposed to hire somebody already. Oh, I guess, darn it. You know, like, those are the conversations that him and Mickey Loomis and whoever is in the building this week, this is their lead topic too this week. There's no doubt about it. The other thing, I agree with Nick. We're not talking about just replacing the offensive coordinator. We might be talking about wholesale. I mean, I think every staff member on that offense is under the same gun. And again, not to bring up the members only podcast twice, but Kevin had a really good point about this talk of bringing John Gruden on. I think you only bring John Gruden on, unless he's the new offensive coordinator. He said, I think you only bring John Gruden on if Pete is staying. because you are not hiring anybody as your offensive coordinator and saying, oh, we're also bringing in John. Who would take that job? Oh, I'm the offensive coordinator, but he said it would be just like what Rob Ryan position was in when they brought in Dennis Allen as senior defensive assistant. Nobody wants to be the, I'm the offensive, unless it's like Pete Carmichael or Ronald Curry. So bringing in John Gruden almost feels like it means you're keeping the staff. Mm. Unless he agrees to be the offensive coordinator and hires his own staff.
Well, look, no matter what, it depends on your quarterback. And look, Derek Carr's not going anywhere. He will be here next year. And so who do they go out and get that best suits the Saints offense with the veteran quarterback currently here? And let's not forget, too, the Saints do have the 14th pick in this year's draft.
I'm hung up on something like, I would not, I don't like that configuration.
John Gruden and Pete being here?
Yeah, like, right. Make a decision.
Right. But I'm saying if you're hiring John,
I'm not saying Gruden, you're saying it.
Right. If he's coming in as a senior offensive assistant, the exact title that they gave, like unless John Gruden's being hired as offensive coordinator, like, it's a weird thing. Who does he join?
My point to that, though, is like, if you're DA, don't you know how dysfunctional that kind of was because you were in that role and you were in that role? And whether he wants to admit it, like, you're trying to take that man's job and you kind of know that you have like a dead man walking and now there's two principals. Like, you were part of that. So, like, why would you want to do that again?
Yeah.
It just doesn't, like, make a decision.
Right. Well, Gruden would have to be the offensive coordinator then. Meaning, no matter who else is offensive coordinator, if John Gruden is in the building, John Gruden is the main guy. So he better want the offensive coordinator role.
Yeah, it's murky waters for sure when you don't have a true clear line. I mean, typically that hasn't worked. Like, people talk about the dual quarterback system. You can't have a dual offensive coordinator system. Yeah. It's just not going to work.
They had a dual defensive coordinator. You can
talk,
like that.
Well, you can talk about like that, you can talk about 2019 LSU. There was they talked about the two offensive coordinators. There was one offensive coordinator and there was a guy who was assisting.
We don't have to talk about any other situation except for last year with the Saints when they had Cody Cease in it and it became dysfunctional.
Very dysfunctional.
I mean, it's just.
So it means like you kind of want to go all or nothing with John Gruden. Either he's the offensive coordinator of this team, but bringing him on in this other role.
To me, like, if you're going to do it, do it. Like, if you aren't, don't. Yeah. Like,
and the reason why I think it could work is because of the quarterback that they're going to have next year. And two, if they do draft a guy at 14, a quarterback at 14, John Gruden would probably do an okay job at developing that quarterback behind Derek Carr, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I absolutely despise that talking point, though, and it's just dumb to me. Like, how can you sit here and say they can't develop a quarterback? They haven't drafted a good quarterback. There hasn't been somebody worth developing. Like, you don't know that. Like, I can't sit here and be like, well, Ronald Curry has no talent. Like, who's the other guy?
On the current staff?
Yeah. The other guy that coaches the quarterback.
DJ.
Petrie's with them. DJ's around them. Yeah, I can't sit here and say that none of these guys can't coach. Like, that's just really unfair. So, like, I'm not gonna engage in that. Like, I haven't seen them have a fair chance with somebody that's worked. Oh, they didn't develop Ian Book. Oh, like, okay. Like,
it's a fair point.
Like, nobody else has either, right? I mean, like, it just seems like Jake Haener didn't win the backup quarterback job this year. Like, okay, he's a mid-round pick. Like, I can't sit here and say that you can't bring in a first-round quarterback. It's just like, I don't know. It just seems like it's just the most negative talking point, and there's no merit to it at this point. Like, it's very possible they could fail at it, but I can't judge something I haven't seen. So I just think I just don't like it. I don't like that talking point.
Here's one more factor when deciding what to do.
Sean Payton couldn't develop a quarterback either. I mean,
Here's one more factor when deciding what to do. The growth that you got. Somebody on Twitter asked me this. I should have retweeted it. I didn't vet. You know, I like to vet the people I retweet on Twitter and see, are they always just screaming at everything? But they made a really good point, and they said, honest question. If you overhaul the coaching staff, does it take 3 months for everyone to get on the same page again next year too? Like, did the growth of the last year mean, do we want to start all over again? And then, Derek Carr he struggled in his first year with Gruden, did great in his second year with Gruden. He struggled horribly in his first year with Josh McDaniels. He struggled in his first year here, and they've made some gains. Do you factor in, do we want to start all over again and teach him a new program this offseason? That is another factor. I'm not saying this is not my argument to keep Pete, but I bet that's another conversation they're having in the building right now.
All right, let's get to our moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Look, we saw how the players on social media reacted to Jameis Winston making the decision to change the play call and give Jamal Williams a touchdown at the end of the game and fake the kneel down. Given what we saw from the players and how they reacted inadvertently going against their coaches, I say inadvertently because I don't think if it was an aggressive all-out blitz against DA, I think it would look a little bit more obvious, but this is still an aggressive move to show support for a player who went against the coaches, which is something we cannot ignore. How does this coaching staff get through this and continue to try to change the culture in 2024 after something like this really has extended beyond the game into player social media?
Well, I mean, first of all, for me, I can't sugarcoat it. Like, there's a black and white here. The coach told you not to do something and you did it. Doesn't matter what your intent was. You didn't listen to him. So, I mean, like, it is whether you want to say, like, well, my intent wasn't this. You did it, and that's what you did. So, I mean, there is a black and whiteness to this. And like, I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't matter that you're trying to help your teammate or whatever. Like, you still didn't listen to your coach. Your coach told you not to do it, and you ran the play. Like, it's just you didn't do what you're supposed to do. So, like, I don't think you can use the word inadvertent because
right. You
were given a directive and you didn't do it. Like, whether your intent was to say FDA or to help your teammate, like, that's where the conversation starts. But, like, you still defied, you know, your orders. So I don't think that he had, you know, beyond it, I don't think his intent was to dunk on DA, especially after talking to more people. I don't think it was about showing up DA, but while looking out for your teammate, you still happen to do this other mm-hmm. thing. So it is what it is.
So how do you move the culture forward then in the locker room in 2024?
Yeah, I think it's not even, I think this is like independent of it, but I think.
Sort of, but to further your point, I don't think they did this because they wanted to show disrespect to DA, but I think we all agree it's symbolic of how they feel about it. Like, it's the latest symbol of, another person we work with used this in a text with us. He feels like he has the respect of a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fair comparison, which is not to say he doesn't have any respect, but he doesn't get, you know, every once in a while they're like, we're not going to listen to him on this one. It is a little symbolic of things we heard all year long.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I don't think it was done to disrespect DA, but it happened because there is disrespect present.
Right.
And
it's just right. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, that's just kind of is what it is. And you know, that's been present with the team all year. Like, I know people went to the front office to tell them, like, hey, like, we don't agree with how the team's being coached.
Yeah.
Like, that happened. Yeah. So, I mean, like, these things happening like that, what I would do is completely different from what I think will happen.
Yeah.
And what will happen is that they're going to get rid of the people that aren't bought in all the way. And for me, I don't know that that's the way that I would go with it, but I feel pretty certain that's the way it's going to end up going. Yeah. And I think that's going to mean that players that people have bought jerseys for, more popular players, guys that they love, that they identify with this team, I think we're going to see them go. And it's just kind of a shame because, I think this is probably something that's going to happen regardless. Because I think, like, whenever you look at it, a team, a company, whatever, like, if you take out the person that is kind of most synonymous with it, that's the face of it, that sets the culture and everything else, there is going to be a dipping down around it. Like, you just aren't going to have that same level of intensity. There isn't going to be the same level of care. It's not going to be the same level of details. And you can try to put somebody else in there and maintain it, but it's never going to be the same if that person you're taking out was the person that played the drum that everybody marched to. And I think that's kind of what happened here. And people seen, this isn't how we used to do it. This is what it used to take to win. This is what you have to do to win. And then you see things change, and it's hard to get your head around it because everything else is still the same except this one person. Whereas I think if you went and maybe changed things completely and you're doing things differently, there's kind of more of an open-mindedness to, like, okay, this is how this guy does it. Let's see how it goes. But when you're told we're maintaining the Sean Payton, Drew Brees culture, and then you don't, I think it becomes very hard to buy into that system. Yeah. And I think you just kind of panic a little bit. And it's just like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And I think that's why we're kind of in this situation where there's a lot of strong pillars, yeah, popular people on this team that have had trouble maybe buying all the way into this system.
I mean, I don't think we need to tiptoe around the names because I think Marshawn Lattimore, they just restructured his contract to set it up to trade him, and he hasn't been around at the end of the season. I think we have questions about whether Michael Thomas will be back. I don't know that everyone needs to go, even though, like, Cam Jordan didn't give a ringing endorsement of DA the other day. I don't think we're talking about seeing them get rid of Cam Jordan, Alvin Kamara, DeMario Davis, but it is really interesting. It's going to be painted, is going to be seen by the fans as they're choosing DA over Marshawn Lattimore and Michael Thomas if those two guys are gone. They chose DA over CJ Gardner-Johnson. And the fans are going to be like, why'd you choose DA over them? But it's really interesting. If you perceive that those guys aren't bought in, then you almost can't lead when they're the leaders of the team. I agree with Nick. I'd rather have Marshawn Lattimore and Michael Thomas on my team, but if DA is the head coach of this team, I wonder if something's got to give there. I really do.
I wonder, too, how the leadership will change. I originally had put this question in as, can Dennis Allen get the leaders in the locker room on the same page? Really, is it depending on who's in or who's out? Because as you mentioned, some of these leaders and guys that are usually selling the most jerseys express their opinions in more ways than one throughout the season to multiple people, why they were frustrated, things they did not like. It's a good question of, are some of these guys going to be here next year? Are the leaders going to change in the locker room next year? Is it going to get to that next season?
I mean, I think the leaders are the leaders. It just depends. You know, some of them that are here now might not be here next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the thing. But, like, you know, I don't think that you can just, like, that happens. You know, they follow behind the guys they follow behind. So the question is if you just kind of get rid of some of the leaders in the locker room, can you fill that? Like, yeah. Are there other guys ready to step up? And it's kind of, as I look around the room, I don't know that there's a lot of, you know.
That was a problem this year, with the young players who weren't taking that ownership themselves. It seemed like a big talking point.
Yeah.
Something DA and players agreed on was that the younger players needed to
study
take more ownership.
Yeah, they needed to take meetings more seriously. You know, that was just a thing throughout the whole year. Like, even you know, players are in the meetings and they aren't as locked in as they should be knowingly. And then, like, they would lock back in, and then it was just very inconsistent. And I mean, I just think somewhere culturally there is an issue. Like, and I don't think it's that they have bad guys. I think they just have players that don't know how to do the things they need to do to win. Now, where does that come from? Like, it's tough, man. Like, you can tell them to go study film or whatever, but, like, they still have to want to go do it. You know, you actually have to go home and do it. You can have the intent. You can tell them. You can bench them. You can bench them twice. But, like, they got to go home and turn on the iPad. Like, it just kind of is what it is. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I don't know. Like, maybe you need to find someone to get through to them. It's hard to know where, like, you can just hammer someone all the time, and if they don't do what they're supposed to do, at a certain point, it's just like, you know, can anyone get through to them? That's the issue. So, I mean, I don't know how they fix that. I mean, there's a handful of guys, though, that definitely need to figure out how to be better at preparing for games. No doubt about it.
The number one thing you can have as a coach, above all else, respect is probably number one, but belief that it's going to work and belief that you're going to win. And you know, you can be a tough coach who nobody likes playing for, but if it works, then people will live with it. You can be a player-friendly coach. It needs to work. And that's a place where this coaching staff has not gained the faith of this locker room.
How do all of these decisions affect the Saints fan base this offseason? I'm talking coaching changes, front office changes, player changes. How does all of this now affect
DA
the people
who pay
to watch
DA
the games?
DA doesn't have anywhere near the credit in the bank that Marshawn Lattimore, Michael Thomas, and even CJ Gardner-Johnson had, that Demario Davis has, that Alvin Kamara has, that they would, if there was, like, any kind of a choice to be had, if they're like, we saw it with CJ Gardner-Johnson and he wasn't anywhere near the caliber of a Marshawn. If Marshawn Lattimore gets traded, if Jameis Winston gets traded, like, and it seems like DA got chosen over them. This fan base is not having that. The only way to get the fan base back is to start winning again. And that won't happen. That can't happen till September. I think it's going to be growing pains.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be a lot of pushback. And we already saw the pushback in the form of empty seats this year.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate this fan base, too, because they're going to be dialed in from now
all
the way until the very first game, letting their opinions be known and felt. And look, at the end of the day, they're the ones who are buying tickets to sit in seats to cheer on your team that you are asking to show up on Sunday. So there is a little give and take there. What's the likelihood of Jimmy Graham being back in 2024? What would be the benefits or non-benefits?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people are going to like this answer, but I mean, if you got a guy that can only, like, play 2 yards out, like, I don't know, like, maybe try to find someone else.
It seems extremely unlikely. Yeah, like, it was a shock when he unretired. I don't think these messages he's putting on social media guarantee that he's retiring. He's saying goodbye because he's flying back home and he's going to probably live on a boat for the next 7 months. Mm-hmm. Maybe next July they call him again. But, I mean, he seems like one of the least likely guys to be back on this team.
Yeah, and especially, too, just his social media posts kind of seem like he's on the way out. He gave the salute and the picture of him back in a plane. Jimmy's back flying planes again. So I don't know if he is going to be back, especially given... Doesn't sound like there's going to be a whole lot of change.
Oh, he's fine. He posted pictures of himself flying.
He was in a, it looked like he was in one of those smaller planes. So I think so. Wouldn't surprise me.
It's nice to see that recovery.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of older players, somebody like Cam Jordan, does he have to re-earn his starting DN spot for next season?
I think he's got a, man, this is, it's just, you know, the coach called him a run player. So, I mean, yeah, I think he's going to have to compete and win that job for sure. And I mean, I think he should have, I think everybody should have to. I think everybody on the D-line should have to fight and earn jobs. And if Cam had an injury and he was held back because of it and there's something in there that's closer to what we're used to seeing from him as opposed to what we saw this season, if this season was the outlier, that's going to bear fruit in camp and we're going to see it and he's going to win that job and he'll have it. And if he's not, okay. But regardless of if Cam had a great season, poor season, whatever, his age is his age, and you need to get somebody here that can compete and be in that pipeline for the future. So you gotta go into a preparing either way. Like, I don't even think it's about what we just saw. I think what we just saw adds urgency to it because you just got to be realistic. Like, you have an older player who had a down season. Maybe it was injury-based, but, like, maybe you don't bounce back from it. And that's no disrespect to Cam. Like, it's just I think you have to prepare as if. And they had been trying to for years and just failed. They got the wrong players. So you got to go find the right players now.
Yeah, starter doesn't matter. He might be a starter because rundowns are first down. You know, he's not going to go back to being 90% of the snaps. He's going to rotate with someone else. It'll be great if that rotation gets him back to 8+ sacks a year and he can be helpful in the pass rush as well as the run. But it's my number one priority in free agency. In the draft, I'm debating between quarterback and offensive line because I think you need to rebuild those positions for the future. I'm adding a pass rusher in free agency. I don't know if I'm paying $20 million for that player or $8 million for that player, but I'm adding a pass rusher in free agency. This team can't roll out that same defensive line.
I agree. We will see what happens. Moves are on the way. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will still go around the NFC South. Sticking with Derek Carr, we got a huge segment on him. And also, what's going on with Kai Harley and Jeff Ireland? We'll talk about it all right after this.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, soft-shell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge. Or, if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Welcome back to the NOF studio. Time now for our money segment. Did Derek Carr save his spot as a starting QB with the way he finished out the regular season? Or if the Saints draft a quarterback in this year's draft, do you expect competition at that position?
I mean, if they draft a QB, I mean, there'll be competition. I mean, there has to be. I think he's pretty comfortable in his position, though. I don't think drafting a quarterback is going to probably be a priority for them. Now, if the opportunity like presented itself, I think they'd probably jump on it. But I don't think it's something that I think they're looking at it like, how do we make things better for him? And they're invested in him, and I think that's the way they're going to approach it. My feelings on quarterbacks are well documented. I'm drafting one all the time, every year, as high as I can. But I don't think that's going to be their priority.
I think the struggles of this season were enough of a wake-up call that you have to take it as a serious consideration on the board, especially with the 14th pick. I've seen a lot of mock drafts that have four quarterbacks going in the top 12 or whatever. If you're in position to just move up a couple spots or even stay put and get a quarterback that people think is top 10 worthy, if you're in position to use that Broncos pick on Michael Penix Jr., if he becomes a second rounder, you have to consider it. It doesn't even have to be a slap in the face to Derek Carr. Derek Carr can go out and be the NFL's comeback player of the year next year, like Drew Brees was the year after they drafted Philip Rivers, and then you can be like, great, we have two wonderful assets here. But this is a team that has to think more about the I'm tired of the we're trying to win the NFC South this year. I believed in that during a lot of Drew Brees' later years. Even the last couple of years, I get like this team has to know we need as much talent as we can to rebuild a talent base for the future. Quarterback has to be part of that conversation. Derek Carr played well enough, though, that it doesn't have to be a must in round. If they don't draft one, that's okay if it doesn't line up.
Will they, though?
Will they? I don't think they will. I don't think drafting 14th is the spot to get. You're probably getting the fifth best quarterback in the class, and then at that point you're kind of convincing yourself.
If they trade Marshawn and say acquire another first, should they move up?
Two firsts to go up and get someone like Jaden Daniels. I mean, I'm okay with it. You can give me a quarterback and cap space. Like I'm kind of there with this team now.
Would they though?
No, I don't think they will. No.
Right. I'm with you. I'm on the should, yes, would, won't. I don't see it.
Yeah.
So it gets to, look, they've got that 14th pick. Where are they lacking in talent on offense? The left tackle spot is an easy one to go after. But outside of that, since we've talked about that so much, what outside of just left tackle, where are they lacking on offense?
Left tackle, left guard, potentially right tackle, depending on where Ramchek's at. Yeah. And if you aren't lacking there now, you might be lacking soon. Running back, tight end, all of them. Any spot, like you could add two tight ends to this group probably. Wide receiver, I wouldn't say lacking, but you could. Quarterback, you could. Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything.
There's enough of a need up and down this roster at every position, and there is an old guy in every position group that there's nothing I'm taking off my board. But
center.
But okay. Okay. You know. They drafted Cesar Ruiz and moved him to right guard, but you know what I mean? That's fair. But I think offensive line is a draft priority, even more so than what's a free agency priority, what's a draft priority. I want an offensive lineman with one of those first two picks. I really do.
Is the offense that far off from being really good, given what they do have?
Not necessarily, but Nick just detailed it. You don't know who your left tackle of the future is. You don't know how much longer you can trust your right tackle. And you don't necessarily know who your left guard of the future is. Alvin Kamara is getting older. Michael Thomas is probably already on the way out. You need to replenish some playmakers. So the offense we saw at the end of this season could probably win you some games, but I think you need to keep restocking the cupboard.
All right, let's throw a question in here from the chat from Tim. What makes us thinking getting rid of our veterans who genuinely have integrity will attract high character free agents?
I mean, it's an interesting question, you know. And look, everything you do is recruitment for somebody or not for somebody or de-recruitment for somebody. But I do think ultimately money dictates kind of how things play out. But if you're a guy with choices and you're trying to win a title and you're trying to go to like a contender situation, the Saints and their little dysfunctional hub here, like I don't know if it's the most attractive place in the world. So like kind of having this exodus of players, I don't think is the greatest like calling card of like we're a healthy, stable, thriving situation. So it is kind of a de-recruitment tool in some sense, for sure, no doubt about it.
Let's shift over to the defensive side of things. We were talking about, is the offense really that far off from being good? What about the defense? Where are they lacking?
Well, they're lacking the pass rush and the defensive line and the run defense up front. I don't think they're that far off, but they're getting so much older. You have to replace Tyrann Mathieu soon. You have to replace Demario Davis soon. You have to replace Marcus May soon. You have to replace Cameron Jordan soon. So that is a unit on the decline. It definitely is. But run it back and tell me how they're going to look in September. I think they can still be a couple pieces away from being competitive in September, but I need to rebuild a lot of that defense.
How far off is the defense then from being a well-rounded group? Think about just the piece you got to plug in, because it doesn't seem to me like it's just like completely at a loss, right?
No, I think their defense is still in a pretty decent shape, and people hate on DA, but like he schemed his way around no pass rush the whole entire year and had a top unit. And I mean, people can hate if they want to hate, but the man knows how to design defense. And like, you can't really make another argument. I mean, it's just the truth. And I think they do need pass rushers, though. Like pure talent, I think would help a lot. And then helps elevate it. If you move on from one of your corners, you need a corner. I think your safeties, you could probably use another young guy in the pipeline somewhere. But I think it's two pass rushers and probably, you know, somebody in the secondary shores it up. And then some linebacker depth. I don't think you need top tier linebackers, but some linebacker depth, I think, is something that would help too.
All right. There's been some action this week as far as teams requesting interviews with some of the Saints staff members in the front office, which gets to our Martin question of the day. Martin's his home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin, so much more than just wine. Our question is, what's the likelihood the Saints lose Jeff Ireland and Kai Hartley?
Well, I think, look, the Jeff one's interesting to me because I think him being requested for an interview by the Chargers puts pressure on Denver if they want to get rid of their guy. Mm. And if Jeff's the guy that you want there, him getting an interview somewhere else, I think, says, like, all right, like, if this is the guy, we need to make a move on our GM now and do it. I think that's probably a debate. I think Sean Payton's whole entire season was designed. Look, I really truly, like, I'm not trying to sound like Aaron Rodgers here. Like I really, truly, okay. I really, truly
he just
believe,
got kicked off that show.
Yeah,
easy,
I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist is what I mean. Like, I really, truly believe that Sean in some way sabotaged his whole entire season to put himself in a position to gain more control over everything. And I think part of that was making moves to try to get people fired so that he can get his guys in there and he runs and just controls everything. And, like, again, I'm not trying to sound like I got a tinfoil hat on, but is that outrageous to think?
I think it helped that he won the games he won. 8-9 looks a lot, but for a little while, it didn't look like Sean Payton was going to be in position to do anything. And then maybe following your conspiracy theories, like, oh, I got to win 6 out of 7 to show everybody that I still got some juice, and then we'll bench Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little more concerned about Hartley leaving just based on, I mean, Jeff Ireland's been a hot name for several years, and he's gotten a few looks here and there. The Carolina situation interests me because there's a report that they want to keep Dan Morgan in there as sort of their rising talent evaluator and pair him with somebody with a business sense. You don't have a guy with better business sense running that right. half of the operation and potentially stealing it from a rival. I have to think he's a top candidate in Carolina if that's the setup they're looking for. And with Jeff Ireland, you know, I think they've groomed some people. Cody Rager, they've groomed under Jeff Ireland. Like, he could potentially promote. Obviously, Michael Parenton does a great job on the pro staff. I don't think there is another Kai Hartley in the building. I don't want to lose him.
Here's my big question. Does Kai Hartley want
to
go to a Panthers organization?
Yeah, he wants to be a GM, absolutely.
GM, yes, but if he has options, let's just look at it from that perspective. If he has options beyond just the Carolina Panthers, which is, we know what we have seen over there, there's
Fair.
Got some issues going
we
on.
We have,
I mean, people
seen coaches
drinks
turn down
fans.
The Raiders before. That does
yeah.
feel like a place you
I,
might
I just to. Wonder, because Kai, it seems like he's been somebody who's bided his time a little bit. Like, maybe if he has another option at GM, he's at least going to weigh the options, or am I looking at it wrong?
I think if he gets offered this, he takes the job.
All right.
Yeah.
I think so too, but that is interesting. We talk about this all the time, the Saints stability that some people mock. Like, people would turn down an opportunity to work for Carolina. You keep firing people 9 months into their job, people will eventually turn Carolina down, but I don't necessarily think that would be the case in this situation.
Speaking of Carolina, let's go around the NFC South. They need a new head coach. And they need a new GM. What's this news about Mike Vrabel potentially being a head coaching candidate in Carolina? Do you buy that?
I think Mike Vrabel is going to be at the top of a lot of lists. I mean, he's a good coach. He presents well, all that stuff. I think he's going to get another chance pretty quick. So anybody with an opening, I think he's probably going to get. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets interviewed by almost everybody that has an opening right now.
There's been so much news from just the Panthers and kind of what they're looking at. David Newton is the ESPN Panthers beat writer there, and he's listed that there's been 8 GM requests right now for the Carolina Panthers. It's a lengthy list, and of course we know our guy Kai Hartley is in that list. Moving on to the Falcons. They did fire Arthur Smith. I want to read this quote by Arthur Blank real quickly. He said, "I feel pained by the decision personally, but I absolutely feel truly at peace about making a decision on behalf of our fans and on behalf of our franchise and our players. The decision came pretty swiftly. I'm not even sure he got off the plane yet because it came so quickly after the Falcons lost to the Saints." And you wonder, with the way that game ended, did that kind of put the nail in the coffin for the Falcons to go ahead and make that decision that night?
Probably so. I mean, but I think the Falcons are in a great position because I think they might have, honestly, potentially the most attractive opening out of anybody in the league. Like,
it's a lot of talent, a lot of young talent.
It is. They're quarterback away, and they're in position to be able to get one, and it's good ownership. I mean, I think they're in a strong position to get a really good candidate in you know, as far as the openings that we've already seen.
I think, too, they're going to move off of Desmond Ritter and Taylor Heinicke. They're
drafting a quarterback.
They have the eighth pick in the draft. They could potentially move up. They need to figure out their quarterback situation. Yes. The Falcons could, you know, you talk about it being a place people might want to go. It could be a situation like the Houston Texans this year where they kind of have pieces around. You find a good quarterback, you figure out what offensive system, and if it works, you could have success in year one.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got Bijan, so even if you don't have the quarterback, you're probably going to win a handful of games.
Easier said than done to find that quarterback. A lot of teams keep trying and trying and trying. Would you rather, if you're forget how the organizations are run, because that's a hiccup in with the Chargers, or and always has been. Would you rather inherit Justin Herbert right now or be in position to draft one of these guys?
Am I allowed to talk to Herbert before I take the job?
Of course.
If I can like somehow determine that there's some killer instinct in there. Yeah. I mean, look, you're always going to take the bird in hand, especially when it comes to quarterback. Because the odds of drafting one, even top five, top three, top one, Carolina. I mean, like, it's very hard to get a quarterback. So I'm always going to take the one that's there.
Washington has the number two pick and a coaching vacancy. That might be the one that people want most.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Bucks, still alive and well. They are hosting the Philadelphia Eagles Monday at 7 Central in the wild card round. It's an interesting case for the Tampa Bay Bucks because the Eagles have shown no sign of anything but just utter collapse and spiraling. And to be honest, this Bucks team still has a lot to prove with Baker Mayfield. And I think, I mean, what are the odds right now? Do they have the edge over the Eagles?
I don't believe in either one of those teams right now. I mean, the Eagles can wake up any minute, and it's not hard to beat Tampa Bay. We just saw the Saints do it with relative ease, and Tampa Bay, with their lives on the line, beat Carolina 9-0. But I'll tell you what. Kudos to Tampa Bay. I know I picked them to finish fourth in this division.
Yeah.
They are like, I was looking at those cap lists. They were in cap hell, you know, and they decided let's compete, but also get out of cap hell. They have like 48 million in cap space next year. It's amazing they're in this position in a year where they decided to sort of basically rebuild at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I have no faith in either team.
See what happens. So it's Wednesday. It's almost 8:00 Central Time. We expect there to be some movement with the Saints offensive coaching staff next week. We will be bringing you all of that live. We will also have a live show tomorrow night at 7:00. So be sure to join us on NewOrleans.football. We'll see you then.